Okay, everybody, would you like to take your seats? Julia's our last speaker. She was formerly in the RAF. She fled, was it Canada?
Yeah.
Fled Canada because her husband was killed when they were working in the space program. Secret space program. Anyway, she's here now to tell us about everything she knows and give her a good welcome. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. Well, I'm the last speaker and we've finally got the slides working. It's a bit more than that. In Canada, I was targeted by a satanic group to do with my late husband and also a military group. Since then, I've moved forward and I keep moving forward. So I keep developing and learning, so I'm not static. So I'm not like presenting the same information over and over again. I keep stepping forward in different ways. And the more I step forward, the more information I'm gaining. So today is going to be quite gritty, but I think, as Peter pointed out, it's about being realistic. You know, you can sugarcoat things, but alas, things will still happen. What I'm going to cover today is the coming global disasters, prophecies, scientific predictions, depopulation, the Great Solar Reset, and how to survive the Golden Age. Now, this obviously is a vast subject area, but to start with, I thought I'd just, you don't have to read this bit, it's just an example of Deagle. Now, Deagle is kind of a professional site. It does demographics, it does military hardware. So it monitors who's bought what in the military field, things like that. And I actually noticed, I printed this off before they changed it. And what was shocking was the way the population was figured to be reduced. As I said, it's hard to see on here, but I've got all the copies of all the countries here. Not all countries are given to be reduced too vastly, but unfortunately UK is one of the ones that is pretty bad. This is the actual figures that I printed separately so you can see them easier. So this is a prediction for 2025, which is not that far off, as we know. So they predict our population to be reduced from 67 million to 14 million. That's a huge reduction. This is before any solar flares or anything else. Now, there is an agenda, as Peter was pointing out, of depopulation. And I will look into that and go further into that aspect. Here, I don't know if it's on here, because there's other countries there. I popped a few other countries there, like USA. It's one of the other ones that has a vast drop in population, 355 million. To 99 million. So these are huge drops when you consider it. Right. Now, with this was a disclaimer I spotted at the bottom, and not many, I have covered this once before, but it leads into the other aspects of my talk. Now, in 2014, it was published a disclaimer about the forecast. Remember, this is a military site, and it deals with a lot of accurate estimations. It's about the forecast. In 6 years, the scenario has changed dramatically. This new disclaimer is meant to single out the situation from 2020 onwards, talking about the United States and the European Union as separate entities no longer makes sense. Both are the Western Bloc, keep printing money, as we know, and will share the same fate. Well, the printing of money has been orchestrated, as we know. After COVID, we can draw the two major conclusions. The Western world success model has been built over societies with no resilience. that can barely withstand any hardship, even a low-intensity one. It was assumed, but we got the full confirmation beyond any doubt. The COVID crisis will be used to extend the life of this dying economic system through the so-called Great Reset. The Great Reset, like the climate change, extinction rebellion, planetary crisis, green revolution, shale oil, etc., hoaxes promoted by the system in order to attempt to slow down dramatically the consumption of natural resources and therefore extend the lifetime of the current system. It can be effective for a while, but finally won't address the bottom line problem and will only delay the inevitable. The core ruling elites hope to stay in power, which is in effect the only thing they really worry about, which we know how selfish they are. Right, so that's a disclaimer. Right, let's go on to the next slide. Right, these, you don't again have to read them, it's just more the pictures. There's a whole set of Illuminati card game cards. And I've noticed over the last, I'd say 3 years, how accurate. These are just a selection. So many of the others have come true. And I put in the centre the hat trick. So we talk about the white hats and the black hats. And quite frankly, most are brown hats. There is a spectrum, so there are some extremely evil satanic groups out there that control a lot. But there's a huge amount that's in the in-between. But they're using tricks, partly as distraction while they get on with other things. And I don't particularly trust any of them, to be honest, not 100%. There are some good people, but it really is up to us as individuals to make a difference. And as I go through this, you'll probably understand why that is. Now, as Peter was mentioning about Ukraine and the impact of Ukraine on food supplies, which is an orchestrated event, you know, Russia was pushed into invading Ukraine because of the takeover in 2014 and the attacks on the Donbass region and then the biological weapons labs, everything else. But also in America, I've been studying a lot of global farming, and globally they're attacking farmers. It's in every country. It's not just in one country, it's in the entire planet. So this points to a more severe, as the card on the top left-hand side points, is a New World Order world hunger. Now, Peter's right. The first ones to be targeted or won't be able to pay the money will be the poorer African countries. But it is going to spread. And I am actually actively, within a year, progressing forward with looking at different crops myself, because I've bought some land, and I'm actually moving forward actively in this area. And the thing is, now you looked at the depopulation of Britain down to 14 million. Well, when you think that we import about 60% of our produce into Britain, and I'll go further later on about solar flares and how it can knock down all electric and internet, when that is very likely to occur, this means that the transport can't bring in our supplies of 60% of what we eat. So, you know, we are vulnerable, and it's what they said. It's what they said on the disclaimer. The UK is very vulnerable, and so is the USA. And they are targeting distribution plants in the USA. They've also globally having really, really poor crop produce, you know, the capacity of the crops. They're having huge crop losses at the moment. Now, Australia, latest ones, but we are getting climate change. Now, it's not due to humans, as I'll go into. It's due to solar events. So the main part of our planet is governed by the sun. Now, we can be responsible for deforestation, we can be responsible for pollution, and all these other factors that don't particularly help. But we do need more CO2. CO2 is vital for plant growth. So we need more CO2, not less CO2. So that's an absolute utter lie. Because even when I was in Canada, what do the greenhouses do there? They have vast greenhouses. They have CO2 machines in the greenhouses to make the plants grow. So if we don't have CO2, this is actually a catastrophe on a global scale for all of us, plant, animal, and us. So I'm looking at this as actually attack and harvesting for the whole planet and a form of terraforming. And then if you look at the other aspects, you've got the transhuman agenda, which is like, if you look at the top right, the barcodes. Well, we know the barcode did everything now. Everything's either smart or barcoded, commoditized, everybody. And they want to do it with everything, including all crops. They're talking about spraying smart dust on crops so they can monitor calculate each sheaf of whatever produce so they know what anything's going on. Also, the bottom right. Now, this is Bank of England, and this shows no cash. So in the future, we know we teeter on the edge. Very likely, we will not be able to withdraw cash from the banks. Probably lack of cash will cause this. But also, they're closing the banks. By 2025, there will be no banks in Britain. It's already stated. You can look it up. You can look at this information yourself. Just look it up on Google. They're closing all banks by 2025. But also, they're progressively closing the ATMs. And they want to move to cashless. But they're not going to do... The cashless is a means of control. It's digital money. And they're already moving this in gradually. This is not Najiri Gezira. I can't remember what you call it. But anyway, that's my dyslexia talking. But it is literally digital. So they can switch it off just like that. So if you don't agree with them, that's it. They'll just switch you off. And we've seen that in Canada. I mean, they even haven't got that far down the road in Canada, but already when the truckers went on strike, they just switched their accounts off, even if you made a donation to the truckers. I mean, I have friends who donated, but luckily for them, it was just before the cutoff point, or they would have seen their bank accounts, you know, switched off. So they were very fortunate. And then the big sellout, you see, at the bottom there. Now, if you see the eye, above the eye, it's like an electronic device. Well, the big sellout is the transhumanism agenda. It's just, it's a sellout to other races. It's when the solar flare hits, it'll knock people out that have got too far down that road, because any metal within you is going to be very dangerous. And then we see on the bottom left, frankenfood. Remember, this was done in the 1990s, early 1990s. This wasn't done like a couple of years ago. And what we see is frankenfood. Well, what have they been promoting? Well, you eat grasshoppers. We've got factory farms. We're going to provide these grasshoppers, and you'll have protein made from grasshoppers. But this is not good for our health. It's not organic. All our food's been poisoned. The air's been poisoned. And I'm finding out more and more water's being poisoned by the geoengineering. But also, in Canada, I recently found out that they're pouring chemicals into the natural springs there that create a chemical layer on the actual natural springs. Well, this is a direct attack on Mother Earth. It really is. It's not just on humans, it's on all life on Earth, because we're already seeing a drop in populations of animals. And it's not all to do with humans. Not all of it. Some of it is, but not all of it. And then you've got, at the bottom left, the epidemics. So you've got, this was done way before COVID, and you've got the quarantines already there and the body bags in the back. Well, they're already talking about a number two virus. They've already done another exercise, Bill Gates and his mob, and the UN, and well, World Health Organization, about a more deadly virus. Well, what it'll be, I'm not sure. It may be that they'll turn up the 5G. I mean, just locally to me, we're an experiment. They've just put up 6G. And the frequencies for that goes in the terahertz. I'm not very good at explaining that. But it literally is so vast, and they actually admit they'll target it. They can target it to your device. They sell it as, oh, well, if you're not getting a very good signal, we can just turn it up at your device. But of course, if they can turn it up like that, they can turn it up and kill you. There's no stopping that.
Where is that? In Manchester?
No, it's a Blackpool area, but there is some in Burnley. Manchester's 5G at the moment, so it's just an experiment around Lancashire. And up our street, so it's really great. It may be the picking on our area, because it's like a coastal retirement area, so they want to experiment in popping people off at random or whatever they want to do, and sort of because they're experimenting on ways of killing people. They really are. So it could be that. I don't know yet. But I do have protection against that, so I'm quite lucky. And then the top left-hand side, again, World War III. Well, we kind of entered World War III now, with the Ukraine and NATO, because so much military effort is being sent into Ukraine now by the West. A lot of it's being laundered. But Peter said as well, the Russians are keying up for a huge invasion as well to try and finish this. And in that picture, they show quite a big bomb going off. And of course, the pyramid and the eye, which is more likely they may end up setting off some sort of large bomb. Not a huge, probably the ones that Peter talks about that aren't the really huge nukes, but some sort of incident like that. But there is hope going on from this at the end, so I'm not going to say there's no hope or anything, but it's about preparation now. Right. Now, I'm getting onto this aspect. So why are they so keen on bumping us all off all of a sudden? Well, there is a bit of a time scale here. Right, we hear about Agenda 25 and Agenda 30. Right, 2030. Well, it just so happens that, or maybe not, that we are due, because of the cycles of the solar activity in the galaxy, we're getting increased waves of particles coming through. And as such, we're heading for a lot of scientists, again, silence, but it's increasing numbers, are saying that by around 2025, because I've seen this and I've got all the psychics that have seen this, but a lot of scientists are pointing to around that time. We can't be exact date, but that there's going to be a huge solar flare, bigger than the Carrington event. Well, the Carrington event was going back in time. It was, I've got the notes here. Somewhere. Where's solar flares? Oh, 1859 was the Carrington event. And then it was melted telegraph wires, because we weren't reliant really that much on electricity then. It's only the modern society that's so reliant on the internet and electricity. It wasn't really that big an effect then. It just affected localized telegraph poles melted some, but it didn't really affect the structure of society. But I've got here the Great Solar Reset. So instead of the Great Reset, I'm looking at Reset as in Re-Ra, the Egyptian god representing the sun. So again, we get the solar part of this. And Set as in the Egyptian god representing chaos, war, storms and disasters. And as the solar effects are getting more particles already, we're already seeing increases in weather anomalies. And these can't all be contributed to weather warfare. It's just too global in nature. Let's go on to the next. Right. However, Set being a kind of bad guy in the Egyptian God system also had a positive side. He also keeps Apep at bay, the serpent of the abyss, an endless night, who devours and extinguishes the sun. So this Set or Reset, when the sun will dim. Oh, sorry. Right. So when. Oh, right, okay. So if we look at Set, also keeps Apep, the serpent of the abyss, an endless night, from devouring and extinguishing the sun. So it does have a positive role, but it is a disastrous positive role. So it's that duality. Because in order, when these galactic sheets come across of particles, it dims the sun until it creates a really huge static charge on the sun, and it will really dim down, and then it will just create a form of micronova. This is what the scientists are saying, and it's in history too. It's in a lot of text. And that will blast out like a big solar flare. This is not the solar flare in 2025. This will be after that. The solar flares that are coming up that I'm and a lot of other scientists are seeing is a forerunner. But it will knock our electricity out, unfortunately. So that's that aspect. So we go on to the solar flares. Right, solar max. So we're reaching solar max now. And as we're seeing, some of the temperatures are dropping. We're on that borderline at the moment between building up to the solar max and it's going to drop off to the solar minimum. So we're getting increased weather anomalies, storms, flooding, tornadoes, hail and snow. So whatever your country's prone to, the tendencies are you'll get an increase in these weather phenomena. And we are seeing this globally. I mean, look at how Pakistan flooded this year. It was a phenomenal, it was something like half the country flooded. That's unprecedented. And then you've got here increasing weather anomalies, if I could say that, right? So within the time frame from 2025 to 2030, we're due at least one major solar flare, which will make the Great Carrington event of 1859 seem small in comparison. They're talking about hundreds to thousands of times greater than that, so it's really going to knock that out. This event, with our reliance on modern technology, as you know, we're so reliant. Everything's ordered by internet, and our electrical systems run so much now. With a huge impact, this is going to have a huge impact and knock-on effect of the internet and electrical grid permanently. As when you imagine, it knocks the system out, it's going to blow the breakers, things like that, the substations. And the problem is when they pop, you've got to get new ones. And because the system is so reliant on ordering in from, say, China or somewhere else, well, the boats can't sail because their system's been knocked out. Your trains won't work. So you've got all these systems. Your trucks won't work. None of these will work. So how do you get the power to be replaced when even the factories aren't working? So this is a big problem. And this is why you've really got to look at going off grid fairly soon. Right, the 2030, 2050, the micronova. And this is about global devastation. This is not going to be local. But there's a huge amount of predictions about this, not just from scientists, but also from prophecies. And I'll look at the prophecies in a minute. So we're also looking at the depopulation up to this point. And what have we seen? We've got alien interference. We've got negative alien interference that interferes with a lot of governmental people, remote influencing. And I still say that it's a harvest because it's the opting out system of, like in the UK, if you don't opt out of organ donation, then you are opted in. And the Europe has followed the same route. Why? Why? I mean, I know there's a huge trade in organs, but why is it that they're running short of organs in China, these concentration camps there? Some of they're having to expand the people they're arresting because they haven't got enough organs. Now, some of that is probably going to the rich globally. It's a huge trade, but not all of it. And why is it you have to opt out now? That is a big question. Why? Why would any normal society make you opt out of that? And why does it not state that the organs is only for human use? It's not, because it doesn't state for human use. If it's stated for only for human use, then you think, well, there again, you know, human use, people might need my organs, whatever else. But it doesn't say that. And this was brought in just before the COVID. Oh, how convenient. And of course, the global famine. They're going to get a lot of people die from that. So again, harvesting. And also we're seeing, like in Oxford now, they're rolling out the next part of the agenda. And this, they're doing different agendas in different countries. So in Oxford, they're rolling out the 15-20 minute zones. So the splitting Oxford into different areas. And if you go out, if you cross into a different area, then if you cross more than 100 times a year, you can be fined £70. Well, Canterbury's bringing it in, and it's even more strict. But there, you've got to go out your zone, go right the way around the bypass, and back in again. It doesn't make sense at all. But this is the forerunner. It doesn't mean that it's going to stay at... Because this is being brought in really quickly. And how quickly? And it's happening throughout Europe. It's not just Britain. So the whole of Europe are now, some of the major cities are bringing in these 20-minute zones. Well, it's in the Rothschilds' plans to have these smart cities where you cannot travel out of your zone. Everything's going to be local. But then when you get a local control system and then you get the digital currency, you have complete control of your population and you can willy-nilly pop off whoever you want at any time you want. So you're gonna be getting rid of the older people. They've already tried that and people are very resilient. So I think they're a little bit behind on the plans, but they've got multiple plans in progress at the moment. What else was I going to say about that? Oh, the other thing is crematoriums. There's various crematoriums, not just here, but throughout the world, are just suddenly bringing in these power stations within crematoriums. So they're going to generate power from burning bodies. Well, they're going to have enough bodies to burn to worth generating electricity that way, aren't they? And they're bringing, you can look that up. They're bringing them in. And again, all of a sudden, they're bringing them in. Oh, really? Yeah, it's about questioning everything. Why is it happening? So to me, the timescale is this, that we're a prison planet. But when these solar flares and then eventually the micronova occurs, it'll split off the prison planet mechanism so then our souls can become free. I mean, you can do things to survive that. It is survivable, and I'll go into this in a few minutes. And but it does take effort. We have to act. And there's a spiritual side to this as well. So we need to stay, we need to work on ourselves, like other speakers have said. This is all part of, but there's action, and there's also research, as well as the spiritual side, because we need defence when all this goes on. And you can't just underestimate the psychological effects of going through all these things. It's going to be quite dramatic, to say the least, but we can do it. And remember this, our ancestors have survived these pole shifts before because the micronova has triggered, according to geological history, pole shifts about every 12,000 years. So it means the galactic sheet goes round at that timescale every 12,000 years. So it's happened before. So that was like calculation event. Now, this, the micronova, our sun's reset. Now, I'm going to go into the 3 days of darkness. Now, scientists have agreed there's a lot of prophecies that have looked into saying, and even the Christians, some of the Christian faith, looked into 3 days of darkness will be coming. Now, according to the scientists, yes, when this big cloud arrives, it's going to dim the sun. It'll turn red, so we'll get warning, and then it'll get darker and darker until it becomes black. But that it will be still a bit of light, but not much. But at that time, we need to take shelter immediately. This is because a lot of prophecies say there's going to be toxins around. I don't know why there's going to be toxins around, that I don't know. But it's going to release some sort of toxins. And also the negative entities have free reign at that point. This is where the Christianity talk about the demonics having free reign and hell having free reign on earth. Because the darkness comes. But you can protect against this. Now, Padre Pio, who I've connected with, actually, he predicts this among many others. And he says, when the darkness comes, you must cover all your windows, but really you need an a semi-underground shelter, which I'll go into. And you need to pray. Now, I've learned this the hard way because I have had demonics sent at me. You can defend, most of you won't get this, but when you have satanic groups, sometimes they can send stuff at you. And they can summon a demon and then send it at people. And it's not quite the same as like just everyday life. It's actually a group who've done this. And what I found actually, through friends who helped me out at this point, is Latin seems to work. I don't know why the Latin prayers work better than the English, but maybe Peter Padgett had a point which he says that the Latin describes in a more pictorial way, so somehow it has some sort of more powerful energy to it. And also, the only light at that time that you'd be able to use is something like candle light, because all electricity will be gone anyway, so candles will be the only thing you'll be able to use because everything else will be gone. There's also an induction factor about this, so any metal you have might well melt. So it's about preparing without metal or putting tools maybe into sand. I'm working out whether that might work yet, but I might have to contact some of the scientists about that. But we have got time to prepare yet, because we're not at that stage, because that's later on. And you know, some of you might think, well, I'm already getting on a bit. I might not actually reach that time, because we're talking 2030 to sort of possibly up to 2050. So you're like, oh, well, I won't be around 2050 anyway. But I'm getting it's going to be sooner than that, and other people are too. So it's not going to be sooner than 2030, I'm not getting, but we're going to get a solar flare before then. Right, so again, the order of the black sun. So in Egyptian times, they show depictions of the solar wings. So they have the solar discs in the wings, Well, that's like a micronova because it's going to have a huge flare effect or a solar flare, both of those. And like the center one, it's like showing a black sun. Again, this is the days of darkness. So it goes in history. There's a lot of things in history that point to this. If we go to the next one. So what will the micronova look like when it occurs? Or what will the solar flares tend to be the winged ones? The micronova will really explode the kind of outer shell of our sun off because it will get rid of all the dust and crap that's accumulated from the major cloud. So what can we expect from that? Well, there's a lot of predictions that that have stated, like Padre Pio, the Hopi Indians, Mother Shipton, Mary Julie Jeheny, I'm not even going into Nostradamus, Elias Ermeyer, and then one of the main scientists is Ben Davidson. He does Suspicious Observers on YouTube, and it's a good channel to watch. The reason I'm saying that is because he brings in a lot of other scientific papers. So it's not just him. He brings in the science behind all this. He explains it in detail, what's going to happen. In such detail, I can't repeat it because he's got several videos explaining in vast detail what's going to happen. And it's a really good thing to watch because he has books on it too, but his YouTube videos are free. So, you know, it's no harm in watching them and make up your own mind. But look at the evidence. This is all I'm saying. Make your own mind up about the evidence. And I've analysed this over several months, his work and the scientific work. And I get that this is accurate. I don't see any anomalies. But again, what happens in all the movies that we see? Guess who never gets the answers? The general public are never told if something's coming along, but it's a disaster. They're the last ones to know because they don't want to panic the public, or they have some excuse not to panic the public, or whatever else. Never have they said, "Oh, I think we'll tell the public." No, they never do that. So we've got Padre Pio. He talks about major flooding. So he talks like we're going to get major floods. So when the micronova, it's not a supernova, it's a micronova occurs, it's going to blast off. We're going to get warning before this, but when the darkness occurs, he and many others have stated there's going to be some sort of toxin in the atmosphere. And then when after the 3 days of darkness, then we'll get hit by the flooding, the high winds, and if you're on the side where the flare hits, it's going to be scorched. So really, ideally, you don't want to be in a deep underground military base. Now, a lot of them are doing a lot of digging down deep globally because they're trying to think, well, where are we going to be safe from this? And they're going, well, yeah, we'll dig down deep with these deep underground military bases. We'll ride it out in there. But as I said, there's going to be huge earthquakes when the shift occurs. And when the shift, because it's going to shift about 90 degrees, according to the information, and then you're going to get a slosh of the water. And then, and of course, this crustal shift will cause huge earthquakes underneath. So if you're in a dump, it's going to be pretty dumb to be there, actually. It's going to be like a coffin. I would not go underground. Now, you've got a problem if you're in a boat, because on one level, it's probably going to rise steady, so you'd probably be okay then. But when you get a slosh back, it's going to create a kind of tidal wave, and then there's not many boats going to survive that. Now, if you're in a submarine, you've got another problem, because you've got the metal induction. Because we'll see these, like, we're starting to see them already. I've seen videos of them. You're starting to get some Elmo's fire when on some of the lower high peaks. So in certain conditions, you can see like these
energy or static coming from people's fingers. They've just recently had it in Saudi Arabia. And this static, it's like you can get on aircraft sometimes and tell them it's fire, but it's lowering now. It's starting, because our magnetic shields are also lowering on the planet. So as this occurs, this is all having a huge effect. So, yes, it's a bit daunting because we've got earthquakes, floods, and we've got a flash if you're in the, unfortunately, wrong side of the planet. But I've had connections with Padre Pio because Padre Pio, I once touched a relic of his, which was a part of a cloak, and I instantly connected with him. And since then, he's been advising me to do various things, which is fair enough, I don't care. And some of it involves praying, and it does seem to work. So I don't scoff at things that work. So I'm like, not really, really Christian, but if something works, I'm not going to scoff at it. And then some of you might not know much about Mother Shipton, but she did a lot of predictions. She was more local. Britain, lived 1488 to 1561. She predicted her own death as well. But she, you can go and visit Mother Shipton's caves. Now there's some hoo-ha about whether it's all genuine and that, but I feel it is. And she predicted the days of darkness as well. But also, she predicted things like cars, but she described them as horseless carriages, things like that. She described women wearing trousers, which was unheard of then. All these sort of aspects she described. And she also described the effects of this micronova. Right. So this is Mary Julie Jehenny, 1850 to 1941. Now, she was saying that you can get protection by these emblems. Well, when we get the darkness, as I said, it's going to be, as we know, negative beings tend to be more active in the dark. So they see it as an opportunity, shall we say, to create havoc. So that's to do with all, she predicts that aspect as well. Right. Now, as I was talking about Ben Davidson, now he's, as I said, suspicious observer, space weather, solar flares and micronova, but he goes into huge detail of every aspect of this, and he does question and answers and things like that. So if you have any queries or you study the papers he brings forward, but again, a lot of these people, scientists, are squashed. They're literally, the amount he brings forward from other scientists, they can't publish publicly. Because like the COVID, anybody who goes the current narrative, it ain't going to get out there normally, but he is managing to at the moment. And I do believe that he had to fight to keep on YouTube, but I think that they're actually allowing him on YouTube to see how many people follow him. So in other words, if he gets too many followers, they might cut his channel because it's like, oh, too many people are finding out. But if his numbers stay reasonably low, then they go, not many people know about this, we can get away with it yet. Right, so if we go to this bit. Now, this bit is what I've been observing and what I've been receiving information I've been receiving, downloads. I've been looking at long barrows and other ancient mounds. And there's different types. There's the circular ones, which are like a dome, a spherical, like a dome. Then you get the bell barrows, and then you get things like West Kennet, which is long barrow. You get loads of long barrows. And when you think there's about 40,000 of these in Europe that are still surviving, and that's just the surviving ones. There's so many that are hidden in little crops of trees and things like that. Now, when I looked at West Kennet, and I went there yesterday as well, with friends. If you look at that one in the centre, it looks like a kind of boat. And what I got from the scientific evidence is around West Kennet, you would get the wash or the flood coming from the southwest. And that will wash over, that even back then, 12,000 years ago, when these were around, it would wash over then, and then it would wash back afterwards, and this would have been covered over both sides. So this was like a land ship to survive these sort of things. They were very clever in those days. They understood about so much. It's like Simon Miles was saying about the lines and various other things that they knew. They knew psychically all these things way before us, and we've been dumbed down in these generations. We've like been treated like free-range cattle to be harvested. And like New Grange in Ireland, again, survival chamber. And if you look at West Kennet, there's various chambers, like rooms. They're not like burial chambers. And in fact, when you saw the bones in there, they're not put in there like a burial chamber. They're not put in there in any order. They're just strewn in there. Well, afterwards, it could well have put the dead who didn't survive these floods into these. But we have got the opportunity to survive these sort of things. And like, when you look at these, like the barrow in the middle again, that's West Kennet again. But the little post round is fake. But this is an artist's impression of how it was. So it's like a landship. So you've got the flood going over and then coming back and but going back over it. And then you've got dikes all around it, or ditches, to allow the drainage off as well. And if you look at the top right one, doesn't that look like a ship, like a land ship, like almost like a submarine on land? And then you've got other aspects that are built up. And a lot of these ancient sites are built on top of mountains or hills. They're built really, really high up. I've got that you can survive lower down, but not too low. So this will probably... Hang on. Now this is a map, and this is a government map, about predictions about water loss, about water flooding in the future by 2050. But I say that it's not necessarily the ice caps that's melting. This is the residual from the sloshing of the oceans when they go in, come back. Because it's not going to drain from the fenlands, because the fenlands always used to be flooded until the Danish drained them. Now, it may return to be a fenland. I mean, already they're having trouble with floods around there. My daughter lives around there. They're already having problems there. So it could happen way before then. And this is just ordinary weather, let alone when the major ones hit. And I mean, like Holland and all them, they're gone. Because they're so low-lying. You know, when you get a slosh in and a slosh out, it's not going to drain. You'd have to go back to using all the windmills to try and drain the land back again. But it gives you an idea of the map of Britain, what it looked like. So if you live in those areas, it's an idea to move. And I'm living in one of those areas. Being Blackpool, that's off. That's underwater. But I'm planning to move in the next couple of years. And I'm heading that way. I've already got land, but I haven't moved yet. But this is, so I'm active. I'm not just saying this, I'm actively progressing forward in this. But I mean, it is possible, because I'm looking at materials, what to use. So I'm looking at rubber, pond liners. I'm looking at fabric concrete. So you have a frame of wood, so you can use like a bender type of material, what you call a bender, which is using branches that are bent inwards, tied together, but not metal. Then cover them with fabric, which is soaked in concrete or a sort of concrete mix. You can look this up. That creates a really hard shell, but it's also flexible because it's got the material in it. Also covering over with earth. Well, you can make a survival chamber, even a back garden if necessary. But I'm also looking at chemical ways of creating oxygen and also absorbing CO2 from breathing, because you probably have to, it'll wash over and then wash back and then you'll be fine. But you've got to survive those few hours when you're submerged. Because there's not really any safe areas. They say there may be safe areas in the upper parts of Spain, the upper part of Turkey, possibly the middle section of Wales, but Scotland's going to get hit hard because of the sloshback. Is going to even the mountains going to get hit hard there. But the high parts of Wales may survive. So it's the kind of east part of the Welsh, it's kind of the Welsh border area between Wales and England, the hills there. They're saying that that's probably one of the best places to be. Well, I'm not quite there, I'm a bit lower down, but I'm looking at survival in other ways. But before any of this happens, we've got the crop issue. So it's about planning now. It's gone past the time of like, oh, well, I'll just see what's going to happen. You've got to start acting, and you've got to start looking. But do your own research. I'm not saying take my word for it. I'm saying do your own research. And it takes reading, and it takes reading scientific papers and everything else, but also psychic connections. Because I'm getting connections that eventually, when the really bad solar flare and the supernova, the micronova hits, that I have seen myself on a Palladian ship. But I don't know how, there was a lot of people on there, but I don't know how many. I couldn't count at that time because I only have a brief image. And when I went for the Dolores Cannon hypnosis, I again saw the same thing because I had questions about it. But there were a lot of people on the ships. And it also, in a lot of these predictions, like Mother Ship, and she predicts that we will be helped by other beings after this big shift. But they can't do it before because of the claims by these negative ETs who are using us like cattle. So there's a positive negative about this. Because even if you're killed, say if I'm killed with this micronova, it means I'm free. I'm not a prisoner. And also, the planet needs to break free because it's a prisoner. And so, you know, there's communication between the sun and Earth. Now, can this be stopped? Well, another person who's well known is Edgar Cayce, and some other Tibetans said it could, and some of the Hopi said it could be stopped. But everybody's got a shift on the planet. So in other words, a huge amount of people have got to be able to raise the vibration, but to a level like the Tibetan monks, so they can create that consciousness energy. It's not just about meditating. It's about being able to create this ability to the level of Tibetan monks to actually shift all this, communicate with the Earth and communicate with the sun and break the planet free that way. And it's very narrow that's going to occur. I don't think it's going to occur. There's not enough people at that level. But as I said, this is a 12,000-year cycle as well. So our ancestors survived this. And I truly believe these chambers, they called them burial chambers, but these ancient mounds were used as survival chambers. And then afterwards, they may well have buried people in them. Because if you observe them, they really do not look like just a place where you bury somebody. Not the way they're sealed, not the way they're developed, not the angles, not the way they're shaped. So, as I said, it's about building our resilience now. It's about, and I haven't got these slides printed out. So it's about building in our gardens if necessary, because I'm realistic. Not everybody's going to be able to get, I'm going to buy some land and I'm going to build this big thing. And, you know, it's bad enough trying to plan it now, but we haven't got much time. Because once the electricity grows, then we're going to have real problems building them. But it's like short-term things you can do. If you take medication, these are all things you should be doing anyway now, is changing your medication for natural medication. Look up herbs and things like that. Grown your own food. Well, there's going to be food shortages anyway. So I've got chickens and I'm going to increase my chickens soon. And I'm hoping to get some goats and one thing and another. So, and I'm definitely going to grow a lot more crops this next year. But I'm looking at Siberian hardy crops. But again, our temperatures are liable to drop here. So I'm looking at hot plants and as a standby, and also Siberian type seeds that can withstand Siberian temperatures, which you can grow things in Siberia. Find like-minded people. Well, I'm starting to find like-minded people, and it probably won't be big groups, but it's difficult finding like-minded people. It really is, but it is vital. If you're on your own, the psychological damage of going through this would probably be too much. And think, people forget, if you even build these shelters, it's a good idea to have board games in there. Something to keep you amused, something to keep you, something to do, dominoes, anything. Just to keep you from going insane, which is another reason why people like Padre Pio says about prayers. It's to keep your mind occupied to stop you going insane, because it's going to be traumatic. And stock up on long-term commodities, but you've got to watch tins now. Now they're saying that the tins are liable to melt, so glass jars with plastic lids, which I'm getting, or pots. And then medium term, prepare for being completely off-grid, and that's within the couple of years. This is not like long-term. Defence, because people might attack you. Look to where to live or what you're going to do in your locality. If you're too low in the sea level area, you need to move. Food, water, prepare for shelter. The water has to be sealed. So you need areas where you can store some water you can block off when you need to, because it's going to get contaminated. And then look for areas which you might be able to utilise if necessary. If you haven't got any other options, look for cave systems in your area. Look for a mound. You may be able to find a mound that's in reasonable condition. You may be able to use that. And as I said about the psychological parts of these, and I did mention about the defence against dark entities. If you've never been attacked by dark entities, it's a challenge. But then we are capable of defending against these. It's just practice. It's just prayers really do work. I don't really know why, but they do. We're more powerful than we realise. But I also call in for support from other beings as well, if necessary. And about building up courage. And as I said, remember this, our ancestors, we're all survivors. We're all from surviving families. We're all survived these sort of things before. So, you know, it's happened before, so we can do this. And as I said, afterwards, I do believe we're going to get support from the positive ETs, but we've got to survive till that point. And after that, we will literally have probably a year which is going to be challenging, and after that, we're going to have a hugely positive time. Like Lynn Buchanan is a very good remote viewer. He's seen in the future a really, really good time where there's small communities. He sees small communities, but really, really positive communities. Really something to look forward to in that respect. But we've got the short term of things that we need to really deal with. And this is not just for us. I might not be alive or whatever with some of this, but it's about preparing for our next generation so they can survive. So we have got the ability to do this. We have got the ability to survive all this. And again, it brings in the spiritual warfare as well, about our spirit being resilient. Our ancestors were resilient. We've been actually subjugated in our resilience. A lot of people are not that resilient as they used to be in the past. And that's been induced into us. You know, the people of the past were very, very resilient. They could turn their hand to all different things. Learn crafts. Learn how to go back to basics. It's all really useful things. And you can always use it anyway. I mean, the chances of this not happening is very, very remote, looking at the evidence. It really is. So this is why it's up to every individual, you know. That's why I'm talking here today. I'm not talking here just to promote something. It's literally what I believe. Well, yes, it's what I believe, but I've looked at the evidence. I've looked at the science. I've looked at the spirituality. I've been guided this way, and I've backed it up with the science. Not the whimsy, flimsy science that the government's promoting, which is just fake. I'm literally looking at all different angles of this to get a balanced view. Because it's a really serious thing to look at. But at the end of the day, we are immortal beings. We are multidimensional beings. So no matter what happens, it's about letting go of the fear of death as well. Because we will survive, even if we, even if our existence, even if we die in this cataclysm, doesn't mean, if we're broken free from any traps, we're free spirits. We're free beings. We can go where we want, we can come back here. And if it's a better planet, good. And from what everything's, the remote viewers and everybody has seen, it is a better planet. But our population here is vast at the moment. It's not really sustainable. I mean, it could be, like Peter said, if we organised all the distribution and everything else. But again, it's not going to survive the cataclysm. Not everybody. But I do believe that the negative ETs are taking advantage of this and they're harvesting. Because they're like, you know, they get off on torture and pain and harvesting people and everything. I've borne witness. Peter was talking about we're not the top of the food chain. Well, I've personally been in a lineup where the certain reptilian species were taking people into a warehouse and obviously butchering them because I could hear them screaming. So I'm one of the people, not that many people who survived that. And I asked, you know, friends, why do you think they spared me? And they said, well, they probably saw you as a pet, something slightly different. And like, just like farmers do, they have a pet rabbit, or they have a pet sheep, or they have a pet goat, and they won't kill those. So he's completely right. We're not at the top of the food chain. And they only take a small proportion, but it comes along so every so often that they want the farmer's market. And farmers, you know, they say they love the animals and that, and then they take them to the market to be sold. But, as I said, and it's about love and start to create what we want for the future. I think most of you probably agree we don't want the society as it is now. It's not exactly a wonderful one as it is. We've got all these problems in our country and globally. We want a far better future, a far fairer future. I love Great Britain. I love Britain. I came back to Britain from Canada. Yes, I was escaping things in Canada, but I needed to be here. I was told I needed to be here. And I feel comfortable here. I was born here. And I do care about people in this country. I care about everybody in the world, but I care about people in this country more so. So that's about it, really. But we have survived these things before. But if you ignore it and bury your head in the sand, just do the research. Even if nothing else, just do your own research. If you look at suspicious observers on the YouTube, as I said, with Ben Davidson, just look at the evidence. You can make your mind up, oh, load of rubbish, don't believe in that. It's your choice. Because we have our own individual journey, but also we have external influences from society, from culture. Like Peter said, we're here, and we're not in the higher vibrations yet. So, you know, this is the aspect about survival and about moving forward as well. learning from our experiences and changing the negative into a positive. So that's it. Thank you.
Right, I can't get onto this thing. Legs are exhausted. Have you finished now?
I have, yes.
You have. Give me a hand up. Right. Oh.
And we do need to give each other a hand. Give each other a hand, just clap, but also give each other a hand for helping as well.
Right, Julie, thank you very much. And it was a very jolly note to finish on. Hopefully, it won't be as bad as that, but we'll just have to wait and see. I don't think anything ever happens exactly as we think on the worst case scenario. We don't know, really. I mean, I think that there are all these things about England flooding and everywhere flooding and, you know, all the rest of it, but we're still waiting, so...
it's not meant to be yet, though.
Let's hope not, yes.
Observing the science, the solar activity.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody, for coming. And hopefully next time Miles has one, we all come again and we'll still be on dry land and all will be fine. And we won't be starved either. So we'll hope for the best. Okay, thank you so much, everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Jane. Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you very much, Simon. And Peter, and some other guy called Alex, what's his name? Alex, somebody. And unfortunately, Elaine can't be with us. She's felt that it's better to do it on another occasion. The main thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is to enjoy yourselves. We're finishing now. This is the end of the Base of 2022 series. Thank you, Jane, for being host.
I've done my best.
Thank you. She volunteered. So,
I did.
The main thing is, ladies and gentlemen, go forth and have a very nice evening. Say happy Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yes, have a very nice Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Woo! And thank you very much for Matthew. Thank you for Claire and her partner. And thank you for the volunteers that have helped in the background to make this thing happen. We've had a heck of a day. No thanks to Microsoft. And, the last thing I ever say on these occasions is, it's a wrap. Good night.